Well, greetings once again. This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Traditional Naturopath Podcast. I know it's been a while since we've had a podcast, and it seems like I'm constantly saying that on the podcast, but you can look at our podcast instead of as weekly or biweekly or monthly. It's semi-occasionally. So, basically, we have a lot of things to talk about that go back a long way on the blog, so let's just jump right into it. The first one that I want to talk about here is walnuts as drugs. The FDA is crazy. Yeah, this one covers a lot of different things that we like to talk about here on the Traditional Naturopath Podcast, and one of which is the government's intervention and attempt to control natural health practitioners and practices. Another is the benefits that come from natural foods. Now, this article talks about the fact that there are some studies that show that plain old walnuts can help prevent breast cancer and prostate cancer. But the FDA now says that if it prevents disease, it must be a drug. Now, we're talking about walnuts. You go out, you want to eat some walnuts, well, maybe you're going to have to get a prescription to do that. That's just how crazy this is. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration, or FDA, sent a warning label to Diamond Food. Now, those are the folks that package walnuts, you know, plastic bags in the grocery store, for making truthful, science-backed health claims about omega-3 fats in walnuts. Now, keep in mind, these claims are true. They are backed by scientific studies. But if Diamond Foods prints on their label that omega-3 fats in walnuts are heart healthy, or that they prevent breast cancer, or maybe are beneficial to helping in terms of breast cancer or prostate cancer, then it's a drug and it has to be controlled. This is crazy. I'm sorry, it's the truth. The research of these claims that omega-3 fats in walnuts may prevent or protect against disease, because they are correct in that, the studies show that that is the case, then now the FDA said that walnuts could be considered new drugs. These are walnuts that grow on trees, and as such would require a new drug application to become FDA approved. Now, this is getting really silly, and I know that you probably are just incredulous. You know, how can this be? Well, welcome to control of the natural health industry and even just the food industry. I mean, walnuts are just food. Well, herbs are just food. That's the point. And this kind of control is just, to me, unconscionable. But anyway, let's move on to the next one. The next one is the FDA adds new warning labels to statin drugs. Now, statin drugs are dangerous. This is the point. This is why the FDA has put this warning on statin drugs. And there's now this new warning to be aware of. 1 in 4 Americans age 45 and older take statin drugs to lower cholesterol and therefore supposedly prevent heart disease. Well, don't get me started on that issue. You've heard me talk about the fact that the concerns over cholesterol are greatly hyped and inflated. Cholesterol is a natural element produced by your body to help to protect your arteries, you know, again, if the cholesterol level is correct. Now, you can have too high a cholesterol level. That is true. And there are natural things that you can do to help lower cholesterol level. But what I'm talking about here is the fact that these drugs have been produced with the express desire to sell the drug means that the drug manufacturers and their lobbies have pushed harder and harder and harder to have the normal level of cholesterol lowered further and further and further. Used to, anything 200 or below was considered okay in terms of cholesterol. I'm talking about years ago. Then it was 190. Then it was lower. And they keep lowering that number to the point that you have to take these drugs in order to get the number as low as the recommendation. Well, what does that tell you? That tells you that the goal is not to just to lower the number. The goal is to sell the drugs. If you got to keep lowering that number, if diet and exercise and change in diet aren't enough to make the number as low as they think it should be, they keep lowering that number so that you have to have these statin drugs. But, let's keep going here in the article. That amounts to 32 million Americans, or as Peter Wehrwein pointed out in the Harvard Health Letter, the equivalent of the entire population of Florida and Illinois combined. If you're one of these millions and you started a statin prescription, or if you're going to start a statin prescription program anytime soon, you should know there is serious risk involved in these drugs, a fact that even the U.S. Food and Drug Administration is now acknowledging. Evidence indicates, which includes diaries, I should say, court records, medical books, and literature, in which the two sleep cycles are referred to in such a way as to make it clear it was common knowledge at the time. Following an internal meeting between the FDA's Office of Surveillance and Epidemiology and the Office of New Drugs, the agency announced it would be requiring an additional warning for statin drugs. Among them are warnings that they increase the risk of liver damage. Your liver has to process the drug. And if it becomes overtaxed, it can be damaged. Memory loss and confusion. Type 2 diabetes. Muscle weakness for certain statins. According to Dr. Amy Egan, the FDA's Deputy Director of Safety in the Division of Metabolism Drug Products, the new warnings, particularly the one for memory loss, came as a result of anecdotal reports compiled over the past year. In short, with well over 30 million Americans now taking statin drugs, we're witnessing a massive ongoing live experiment on people that are out there taking these drugs, not people who have volunteered for experiments. And many are putting their health on the line for drugs that offer little in the way of heart protection. In fact, they may actually make your heart health worse. Now, this is why I encourage you to look in the mirror. And that person that you see in the mirror, that person that you see in the mirror is the person most responsible for your health. Not your doctor, not the FDA, not the government. You are the person most responsible for your personal health. Now, why do I say that? To remind you that you don't have to, because a doctor says, here, I'm writing you a prescription, you can take that prescription, wad it up, and throw it in the trash if you want to. Now, if there's a legitimate need, a legitimate issue, and you agree with it, then fine, go ahead, get the prescription filled, take the drug, you know, that's your decision. But that's the point. It should be your decision. Before you make that decision, I would encourage you to do the research to find, are there any natural things you can take that would be just as effective as a drug, a pharmaceutical drug, but not have the side effects of these pharmaceutical drugs that they're finding more and more and more occur. The FDA even is issuing a warning on statin drugs for that very reason. Now, people can twist what I'm saying and make it sound like I'm against any kind of drug, that I'm against allopathic medicine, that I'm against doctors. That's not the point. Nothing can be further from the truth. I encourage you to work with your doctor to do the right thing concerning whatever it is, whatever you're facing in terms of your health. Don't arbitrarily just stop taking a drug because, oh, well, I'm just going to stop. No, talk to your doctor about it. Explain your concerns. Explain what you have maybe read or studied or whatever, and come together on these things. But the bottom line is, it's your decision. You're the one that's going to have to make the decision what you're going to take and what you're going to do. Where I get concerned is situations where people just blindly do whatever their doctor says without giving it a second thought, without doing the research yourself. That's why I tell you, look in the mirror. The person that you see in that mirror, that's who's responsible for your personal health. All right, let's move on. Time, that's T-H-Y-M-E, not T-I-M-E, time, is an acne fighter. The herb thyme may be shown, or is shown, to be of a tremendous benefit in fighting bacteria-caused acne. Now, there's all kinds of creams and applications and so forth that have all kinds of harsh chemicals in it, but thyme is showing to be better for acne than even prescription creams, according to new research in herbal preparations. Thyme could be more effective at treating skin acne than prescription creams. Now, this is pretty amazing stuff. Researchers from Leeds Metropolitan University tested the effect of thyme, marigold, and myrrh tinctures on propionibacterium acnes. Oh my, that was, I had to stumble over that word, which is the bacterium that causes acne. The researchers found that while all the preparations were able to kill the bacterium after 5 minutes of exposure, thyme was the most effective of the three that they tested. So they tested thyme, marigold, and myrrh, and found that thyme was the most effective. They also discovered that thyme tincture had a greater antibacterial effect than standard concentrations of benzoyl peroxide, which is the active ingredient in most anti-acne creams or washes. Dr. Margarita Gomez Escalada, the lead researcher, has said, while thyme, marigold, and myrrh are common herbal alternatives to standard antibacterial skin washes, this is the first study to demonstrate the effect they have on the bacterium that causes the infection leading to acne. These initial findings open the way for more research into the use of tinctures as a treatment for acne. So, exciting news, something that maybe you can take advantage of. Make your own preparation, your own tincture, and use that in lieu of harsh chemical products that kill the bacteria but also irritate the skin, cause a lot of other problems. So, again, herbal tinctures, herbal preparations can be very beneficial and not have the harsh side effects of the pharmaceutical drugs. Now, this next one, this one hits a little close to home. A North Carolina blogger, I live in North Carolina, a North Carolina blogger was threatened with jail time for speaking his mind on nutrition. Ouch. As you know, I live in North Carolina. I'm also a blogger, and I have my opinions that I write in my blog. And, you know, you would think that the First Amendment would cover my right to say what is my opinion. But this blogger found that that was not necessarily the case. The state threatens to shut down a nutrition blogger. Now, let me read you a little bit of this article. The North Carolina Board of Dietetics and Nutrition is threatening to send a blogger to jail for recounting publicly his battle against diabetes and encouraging others to follow his lifestyle. Chapter 90, Article 25 of the North Carolina General Statute makes it a misdemeanor to practice dietetics or nutrition without a license. According to the law, practicing nutrition includes, quote, assessing the nutritional needs of individuals and groups and, quote, providing nutritional counseling. Now, that's pretty open-ended. And the problem with these boards that governments set up, whatever state or federal government they may come from, you know, the argument is that they have these boards to judge whether people are competent to practice medicine, practice whatever that particular profession is. You know, they're cosmetologist boards that determine whether or not somebody can cut your hair. You know, when I get my hair cut, I'm not too concerned about getting a drug overdose or something like that. You know, they may cut it in a way that I look in the mirror and go, oh my, what have you done to me? And I understand there's other issues involved. There's health issues and cleanliness issues and all those kinds of things. But I'm just saying, it can get out of hand and it can get very crazy what they do with these boards. Well, this particular law is worded in such a way that providing nutrition counseling can be stretched to the point that a guy offering his opinion on his own blog is deemed, quote, a threat to this industry, to the nutrition and dietitian industry. Now, Steve Cooksey has learned that the definition, at least in the eyes of the state board, is expansive. When he was hospitalized with diabetes in February of 2009, he decided to avoid the fate of his grandmother, who eventually died of the disease. He embraced a low-carb, high-protein, paleo diet known as the caveman or hunter-gatherer diet. The diet, he said, made him drug and insulin-free, get this, within 30 days. Now, this is his personal experience. He was diagnosed with diabetes. He began to eat this low-carb, quote, caveman diet, and in 30 days, he was drug and insulin-free. Now, by May of that year, by May of 2009, he had lost 45 pounds, and he decided to start a blog about his success. But this past January, the State Dietetics and Nutrition Board decided Cooksey's blog, diabetes-warrior.net, would violate state law. The nutritional advice Cooksey provides on the site amounts to, quote, practicing nutrition, the board's director says, and in North Carolina, that's something you need a license to do. Unless Cooksey completely rewrites his three-year-old blog, he could be sued by the licensing board. If he loses the lawsuit and refuses to take down the blog, he could face 120 days in jail. The board's director says Cooksey has a First Amendment right to blog about his diet, but that he cannot encourage others to adopt it unless the state has certified him as a dietitian or nutritionist. Now, let me say this. I know the benefits of a low-carbohydrate diet. Now, low in the sense of lowered, not extreme, but lowered carbohydrate diet, particularly for those suffering from Syndrome X symptoms or conditions. It's a shame that here in North Carolina we have to state so publicly that we're not offering nutritional counseling. But that's what I've personally done on my blog. This is what I say, and I want to make this very clear. Due to recent legal changes in North Carolina, I have added a disclaimer at the bottom, which is the footer, of every page on my website. It is my hope that this will thoroughly clarify this site and its status with regard to the new legislation. Here is the disclaimer. The information on this site is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. All content, including text, graphics, images, and information contained on or available through this website, is for general information purposes only. Traditional Naturopath makes no representation and assumes no responsibility for the accuracy of the information contained or available through this website. And such information is subject to change without notice. You're encouraged to confirm any information obtained from or through this website with other sources and review all information regarding any medical condition or treatment with your physician. While Dr. Bill Bailey has a degree in natural health or naturopathy, he does not see clients, he does not diagnose or treat disease, he is not an MD, which is an allopathic physician. Pretty clear, I hope, to those that may be reading the blog or listening to the podcast and, you know, trying to catch me being a nutritionist. Believe me, I have no desire to be a board-certified nutritionist in North Carolina. I am offering opinion on what I see as the state of natural health. Now, in a lot of states, it's illegal to even have an ND degree, a Doctor of Naturopathy, which is the degree that I earned. And it's getting harder for people who are studying natural health and attempting to learn and share their knowledge with others to escape being hassled by people who want to have a monopoly on health information. They want to have a monopoly on health practice. And that monopoly is being state enforced. And it's because they have lobbied, because they have pushed, because they have worked the system in such a way that they now have the weight of the government behind their efforts to form a monopoly. I find that un-American, personally. All right? But that's my opinion, which I believe, by the First Amendment, I am allowed to have. All right? Get a little bit touchy on this one, but, you know, and I know a lot of people would say, oh, Dr. Bill, you shouldn't have that disclaimer. You're selling out. You're going with the system. No, I'm trying to clarify that as that clarification says, I don't see clients. I get emails every so often. Are you accepting new clients? No. No. I have never seen a client. I have never had an office. I've never put up a shingle, as they call it. No, all I studied natural health for was for personal information. I've turned around and I'm sharing it through a blog and through this podcast because I want to stimulate your interest in researching it for yourself. Do not take my word for anything. You know, I know that on the iTunes site where traditional naturopaths, you know, feed ads to the iTunes, directory, you might say, of various information. Somebody has posted there, these people that have NDs, they just get them through the mail and they say anything they want and they're not really medical people. No, you know what? I'm not a medical person. I don't have an MD. I'm not an allopathic physician. I don't want to be. I have no interest in it. You know, allopathic medicine, as I've said before, has its place. If you get hit by a car on the street, you want to see an allopathic physician, believe me, you don't want to go see a naturopath. But if you want good health information from a natural point of view, then you may want to talk to a naturopath. Your life's not in danger. There's no pressing issues. You know, what we call heroic medicine that you have to deal with. You just want to find out some information. You know, information should be free. You should be able to accept it or reject it personally. Goes back to that guy in the mirror. Look in the mirror. Who is most responsible? You are. But you should be allowed to make decisions. Now, more and more, your decision for your health care is eroding away. Obamacare is going to be a big part of that. It's going to erode away your right to decide for yourself what you should do. There's a lot of people that have stated that very clearly, that your doctor and you speaking together, having a nice private conversation, is going to be less of a determination of your treatment than what the government mandates. That's the way the system is set up. And the idea is for everybody to receive the same treatment. Everybody gets the same thing. That's the whole point of socialism, is everybody get the same thing. Well, what if you're intelligent enough to go out and do some study for yourself? What if you find out, for instance, that taking the herb Coleus forscoli can lower your blood pressure so that you don't have to take some blood pressure lowering pharmaceutical drug that has harsh side effects, and you find that this herb that has no side effects will do the same thing? Should you be allowed to know that information and go buy that herb from a health food store? I say yes. But it will become harder and harder as time goes by for you to even be able to buy that herb, because they're trying to clamp down on it. Like I showed you earlier, they're trying to get walnuts declared a new drug. Come on, folks. Let's think about that. Well, same thing is true with Coleus forscoli. It's an herb. It's a food. But when you take it, prepared correctly when you take it, then it will lower your blood pressure with no side effects. I've seen it. I proved it out for myself. My opinion, okay, my opinion, based on research that I have done personally. But now I encourage you not to just say, oh, well, Dr. Bill said. No, no, no. You go do the research. You go get the herb if you want to try it. You talk to your doctor about it if you're concerned. Should be your decision, not the government's. All right. Well, anyway, frustrating situation that one is. All right. Vitamin D lowers blood pressure in a European study. Now, it's been said before that the consequences on the media's war on the sun, you know what I mean by that? Where they tell you stay out of the sun at all costs, no matter what. They even got a commercial on TV now that basically says, why do you keep trying to change your skin color? And it shows a little baby, you know, with very light skin. And then as she gets older and older and older, she's trying to, you know, get a suntan and all this kind of stuff. And so they talk about how dangerous that is. Well, laying out in the sun constantly and trying to become, you know, tanned like a tanned hide of leather. Yeah, I would not recommend that. But getting out in the sun at least 20 minutes a day and getting some sunlight to produce vitamin D in your body, perfectly normal, perfectly healthy. And as a matter of fact, you know, we were created on this planet, which has a sun, and there's a reason that we need that sunlight, which is vitamin D production, as a matter of fact. So this extreme measure to try to keep people out of the sun, that's a problem. And it's become more and more of a problem because now there are a great number of people who are vitamin D deficient. Now, here's what's interesting about this study. Vitamin D has been shown to be as good as drugs. Now, I find that to be a questionable approach to say it's as good as drugs. How about drugs are as good as natural health? But anyway, you get my point. Vitamin D is as good as drugs at reducing high blood pressure. The once-a-day tablets available from chemists produced reductions in high blood pressure as powerful as medicines, a Danish study has found. A group of 112 patients with high blood pressure were given the supplements for 20 weeks and showed significant improvements in their condition. The findings were presented at the European Society of Hypertension Conference in London. They have a society of hypertension. Oh, well. High blood pressure affects 16 million adults in Britain and accounts for 62,000 deaths, mostly by causing strokes and heart attacks. Vitamin D can be obtained from food, but mostly is made in the skin from sunlight. However, in Britain, this can only happen in stronger light in the summer months. They were treated at Holstebro Hospital in Denmark, which is on a similar latitude to Glasgow and Moscow. Of the 112 participants, 92 were found to have low levels of vitamin D at the start of the study. The researchers found that those patients taking vitamin D supplements showed a significant reduction in central systolic blood pressure measured at the aorta near the heart when compared to the placebo group. Interesting. Vitamin D helps regulate blood pressure. Well, then if you tell your entire population to stay out of the sun at all cost, what's going to happen? Blood pressure is going to rise. What do we see? Rising blood pressure reported among folks all across the country. Things that make you scratch your head and go, All right. Next item, shrink fat cells with raspberry ketones. There's a lot of buzz around raspberry ketones for weight loss. And this article talks about that. Raspberry ketones help fat cells to shrink. When this hormone... let me back up a second here. We all have a fat-burning hormone in our body called adiponectin. When this hormone is working correctly and we're eating a healthy diet and healthy amount of food for our needs, we metabolize calories properly and don't store them as fat reserves around our stomachs, hips, and thighs. Adiponectin also enhances insulin sensitivity, so we decrease blood sugar levels and use calories more completely. Adiponectin also helps to lower blood pressure and prevent arthrogenesis, or hardening of the arteries. When we start overeating and not exercising enough, our adiponectin hormones become overwhelmed, and the amount of calories to metabolize and become sluggish at burning them. So when the love handles and the belly fat and the cellulite start showing up, that's when my patients begin asking me how to get rid of it fast. This is the author of this study saying this. Raspberry ketones are the primary aroma compound of raspberries. So when you smell a raspberry, what gives it that scent are those ketones. Research has shown that high doses of these ketones in mice on high-fat diets have resulted in preventing weight gain both subcutaneously, or beneath the skin, and viscerally, which is around organs. It also helped prevent fatty liver from developing. The ketones apparently stimulate adiponectin release, thereby increasing insulin release, decreasing blood sugar, boosting metabolism, increasing good brown adipose tissue that turns metabolism heat up and burns the bad stored white fat cells. In the same research, though, there was no effect on mouse body weight at 200 times the estimated amount of human intake. To date, there is no clinical evidence that raspberry ketones has the same effect on humans. So, jury's still out. However, taking 200 to 250 micrograms of pure raspberry ketones, one 100 to 125 microgram tablet in the morning and one at night, in a formula without added ingredients like caffeine, etc., is what you need to look for if you want to try this. Be sure that raspberry ketone is listed first, or at least very nearly first, on the list of ingredients. Should cost around $30. Now, I tried raspberry ketones, and I found something personally that was a bit troublesome with it, and that is, I hate to put it this way, but it returns on you, okay? It gets up in your throat, and it tastes, to me, very bad, okay? Everything that I did to try to minimize that effect, and it lasts for a very long time, that distasteful taste lasts for a long time. So it wasn't something that I enjoyed, let's put it that way. Maybe you won't see that same issue. But given that the studies are still not really confirming it, I decided I'm going to wait a little while on that. Maybe they'll come up with one that isn't quite as strong. But my goodness, that was just very distasteful for me. See, that's a case where you may get some evidence that there's a benefit, but then when you personally attempt to use it or try it, you go, you know, this is not worth it to me, and you make a decision that that's just not a good way to go, you know. And you may have reasons that other people say, oh, it's not a good enough reason, good enough for me. All right, let's get to our last item here for this particular podcast. Black tea appears to be heart healthy. Now, black tea is what here in the South we call regular tea, just tea. You know, that you, when you go to a restaurant and say, I'd like some tea, that's black tea. Now, it doesn't look black. It has a kind of a tan color. But technically, that is what it is black tea. And unfortunately, here in the South, when we start talking about tea, we start talking about sweet tea, sweetened with sugar. To the point, I've seen this, I kid you not, I have seen the tea sweetened with so much sugar that you could literally stand a spoon in the middle and it stand up. It's almost like syrup, not a liquid. Now that's just disgusting. I'm sorry, because sugar, and I've said this before, I'll say it again, sugar is a metabolic poison. It causes your body to have a reaction as strong as any drug. And it's quick. It jumps on your body and it starts throttling it up, all right? You don't, and then you crash. later. So large amounts of sugar, even in sweet southern tea, you don't want to be taking, all right? But you don't want to be using artificial sweeteners either in your tea. So I personally love, and I'm saying I love, stevia. Stevia is very powerful. It's 300 times sweeter than sugar. But a couple of drops of stevia in your black tea, oh boy, it is so good, so sweet, so tasty. And I like that slightly herbal taste. A lot of people don't care for it, but I like that stevia sweetened taste. So, and there's some stevias that are better than others. Matter of fact, Now Foods has a liquid stevia that has an alcohol solution rather than a glycerin solution that I really, really like. So I encourage you to check that out. But let's get back to our article here. This was an article that came out November 7th, just a few days ago as I record this, and it is from the Doctor's Health Press. And basically what they're saying here is that black tea is proving itself to be a heart-healthy food. It's long been a staple drink for many people, and has also been a kinder and gentler drink for those who want to avoid the extra jolt that comes with a cup of coffee. As reported in the article, Fight High Blood Pressure with This Tea, the research team was able to prove, in fact, that regular ingestion of polyphenol-rich black tea over 6 months results in lower systolic and diastolic blood pressure. However, they hadn't been able to show how long or when these effects were most likely to occur. So they set out to determine if the short-term effects of tea on blood pressure could contribute to longer-term benefits of regular tea consumption on blood pressure. The bulletin outlines that researchers recruited men and women for a randomized placebo-controlled trial. During a 4-week lead-up, all participants consumed 3 cups of black tea per day. Participants then consumed 3 cups over 1 day of either powdered black tea solids containing 429 milligrams of polyphenols from the tea, or a control product matched in flavor and caffeine content but containing no tea solids. The researchers then measured blood pressure and heart rate over the 24-hour period. They found that the 24-hour daytime and nighttime blood pressure rates were not significantly different between tea users and control subjects. However, heart rate was significantly lower for tea drinkers compared to control subjects during the nighttime and early morning periods, respectively. The article concludes that the researchers noted these results suggest the longer-term benefits of black tea on blood pressure are unlikely due to short-term changes. So, jury's still out again, but more studies, I'm sure, are coming. But the thing is, it appears to offer a way to lower blood pressure naturally by drinking something that you probably already drink when you go to the restaurant. Just add in a little stevia, you're good to go. Now, I noticed here that it said 429 milligrams, which I think is what that measurement earlier, when I said micrograms, it should have been milligrams. I think I misread the mg as micrograms rather than milligrams, and it should be mcg for micrograms, if I'm remembering my measurements correctly. So I apologize for that little oversight on my part. At any rate, trust you enjoyed our podcast today. I want to encourage you once again, go look in the mirror. I'm telling you, you're the person most responsible for your personal health.